Welcome to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims, here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, your cell phone, your iPhone, your laptop, or computer, or they may even have some other type of electronic device I don't know about. Technology is always moving a lot faster than I do. You can search WWGH on those electronic devices to get WWGH. You can also call during the program, which is live on the air during now from 4:18 until 5 p.m. if you have any questions or would like to make any comments to myself or my guest today. That telephone number is 740-383-9944. Again, that telephone number is 740-383-9944. At this moment, I'm going to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have an ongoing announcement. They have free produce market every second Saturday of every month at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. The next free produce market will be May the 11th. The time is from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. All you need to do is show up, provide your name and number of people in your family. Okay, and we also have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. And they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. Okay, and thank those of you who listen faithfully to the program. We thank you for your contributions and your support always. I have a thought for you today, words of wisdom, and the title is called Strong People. Strong people don't put others down. They lift them up. You ever had a friend that never had anything positive to say about anybody?
Yes.
Always talking about them and putting them down, right?
Yep.
Yeah, one of those, right?
Oh, yeah. That was way back, but yeah.
Probably several, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I had several bad friends.
Yeah. That does make a person bad when they're always putting you down or the things that you do. Maybe even your thought, you know, well, why do you always think like that? And, you know, hey, who knows?
I think about those people every now and then. I feel sorry for them, though, if they want to be like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you have to lift people up.
You have to let people be more than what they are or let people strive for something more. You know, you can't just sit there and go, well, that's stupid.
Right.
You know, right. And then that person turns out to be Neil Armstrong, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is that what you get, right? Or
yeah.
Put them up or something. Right.
A lot of times they get what they deserve.
True.
That's true. They keep talking bad about people. I remember one time I was talking bad about some relatives, and a lot of times it did seem like they had their nose up in the air about different things. But one time we had a bunch of people in the living room, and we were all talking, and I started talking about them. That's the only time I can remember where I just out and out said, well, you know, they're arrogant, da 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 da. And they came, they were right there at the door. All of, you know, it was in the summer, we had the door open, but there they are at the door.
Right.
And they heard what I said. Talk about embarrassing. Oh, that was bad.
And the voice you hear, many of you may know whose voice that is, and maybe some of you do not. That is Jeff Porter. He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. And he comes frequently, and he's our doomsday prophet. And even though we just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, from sin, and soon coming King. Is that right, Jeff?
Paul said, without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. Because Jesus had to overcome death in order to forgive us for our sins.
Ah.
And he did.
Yes, he did. The sins of everyone who will ever, who have ever lived and who will ever live, right?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And I love this scripture here. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And when I say that, Jeff, what does that make you think of?
Well, Jesus came to this earth with a purpose, and that purpose was to die for our sins, take our sins upon him, and allow them to nail him to the cross in order to destroy those sins. But you can't get forgiveness for sins unless you accept that and believe that he, as in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, I was just thinking about the anti-Semitism, the people hating the Jews and blaming them for Jesus' death. That is ridiculous. He came here for that purpose.
To die.
Yes. Now, who's responsible for his death? The whole world, from beginning to end, from Adam and Eve to the end of the book of Revelation. He died for everyone, when we are all responsible for his death.
Yeah.
So how can they just blame the Jews?
And the Romans.
And don't, I've heard that one too. I said, if you're going to blame the Jews, you got to blame the Romans.
Yeah.
But see, the Romans are gone. So we could still blame the Jews, though. The Roman civilization has disappeared.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is a new Rome? I mean, there's still a Rome.
Well, yeah, but not like it was back then.
So is it the
Julius Caesar and going around conquering everybody?
No, right. That's not happening by Rome anymore.
No.
We can say that. So what about the papacy, the Pope? What is his purpose there? He's in Rome too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's his purpose, though? Isn't he, like, supposed to be, like, the God on earth?
Yeah, well, that's what some Catholics believe. I don't know how many Catholics really believe that he's deity anymore, but maybe they do. I don't know, but I haven't kept up with it. But that's slightly ridiculous. That's just like Christians going around claiming to be gods. As they have because of the prosperity movement, you know.
Right.
But they don't care about, you know, I've watched, like, for instance, the 700 Club. they don't have any distinction or discernment about Catholicism. They think it's perfectly all right, you know.
I guess it all depends on what they believe.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But see,
and that doesn't matter what religion it is. It depends on what a person believes, right?
You have to believe correct doctrine.
That's what I mean.
You know, so if they're not using any discernment, they're, you know, you're in trouble because you're getting a different definition of who Jesus is.
And see, that's a problem because people don't want to believe that there's only one way.
Well, you know, I heard a guy say today, he said, I think he's an evangelist, he said, can you imagine going up to Jesus at that cross and the blood pouring down and the suffering and saying to him, Jesus, did you know there's other ways to heaven? Can you imagine saying that to him?
Well, Peter did in a way. He was saying, no, Lord, you will not die. I will stand and I will defend you.
It seemed like the logical thing to do.
Right.
And it seems logical to the world that there are other ways to heaven. The only problem is what are you going to do with the sin? You don't have any of these other messiahs sacrificing themselves so that we could have freedom from sin.
Right.
See? And we don't have them coming back from the dead either, like Muhammad, for instance.
Oh, he's, that's a big one.
He died and he stayed dead.
Right. That's a big
one. So our Savior came back to life and stayed back to life.
Right, because after all, when they opened his tomb, there was no bones, no corpse.
He was gone.
He was gone. Only the linen clothes that he was wrapped in were laying in the tomb. And we have documentation of that also.
Yes. Josh McDowell, that was one of the big things that he's a professor that has become a strong apologist for Christianity. And that was one of the big reasons he got saved is because he started investigating the resurrection. Like many atheists, he got turned around. When he started studying the resurrection, he got turned around and started believing in Christ because the evidence was so strong.
Right.
I saw the movie He Is Risen. Have you seen that? It was like a Spielberg thing. It was very realistic.
Wasn't it on TV?
I don't know. I saw it at
it
the theater.
Like I saw it. I didn't even look at it. Did I even tape it or push the record button to record it? I think it was on TV.
I don't know, Linda.
I think I just seen it. I was going
to
call you.
Are you asking me to help your memory?
Can't do that. I watched the greatest story ever told, I bet, four times this weekend. I love that
That's
movie.
A good one.
I love that movie. I love Charleston Heston. He's playing John the Baptist, and he has this conflict with King Herod, the son.
I like
so funny.
Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things. Mm-hmm. He said those movies changed him. Changed his thinking, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
So he probably saw God doing things, you know.
There's no way you could play that type of role and
not
affect it.
Feel the presence of God somewhere along the line, you know.
Yes, you could never
but
be deceived.
When I was a kid, I remember just being in awe when in the Ten Commandments where Moses goes up and lifts up his rod and the Red Sea parts. I was just like,
I know.
You know.
I know. And they walk over on dry land.
Yeah.
You would think they were sinking the muck and the mire at the bottom of the sea.
Well, actually, you know, the movie's a little bit inaccurate because
I'm sure
the Red Sea parts overnight, and then God sends a wind to dry up the mud.
Yes.
Remember that now?
Yeah, I do.
And but you know, God is so ingenious. I mean, when they get to the other side and then the Pharaoh and his army starts to follow them, he just lets the Red Sea collapse on them. Oh, I never would have thought of that, you know.
Or just let them run across the dry land and
catch
the children of Israel, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
So, but
they said their chariots are still down there in the bottom of the Red Sea.
Yeah, archaeologists have found lots of chariot wheels. Chariots,
I wish we could see more
spears.
Documentation on that. I really do.
I do too. Some of that stuff is in museums in Egypt. I don't know where.
Oh, wow.
But that really bothered me when I was an atheist. That's probably the guy I called. I need to talk to him for just a second.
Okay.
Is that okay?
You're right. You want? You go in the other room.
Hey.
Yeah, Jeff is speaking to someone about a testimony he wants to give as we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure we all just celebrated Easter. And that is the main focus of Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even though there's bunnies and chickadees and eggs and jelly beans and all that other good stuff that we mix with it, even though that's not the initial theme, and they were, I think, record-breaking Easter egg hunts this year. I don't think I've ever heard of so many Easter egg hunts as far as this year is concerned, but there were many. Now, Jeff is finished with his conversation, and we will continue with the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
He said it was
remember,
okay.
Remember, if you have any questions, please call 740-383-9944, or maybe you can just share with us, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you? Do you think it's real? Does it matter? Just call 740-383-9944.
Now, I don't know where we were, but Mom and Dad were driving me past it. I was with them. They apparently were visiting a church or visiting friends or something. And we're driving past, and these kids are out front doing a Easter egg hunt. And I said, I don't understand what Easter's all about. What's this egg thing? And what's this bunny thing? And all that. And they said, it's the resurrection. It's the what? The res what? I mean, you know, I'm like 8 years old, you know. And I said, resurrection. What does that mean? And they said, well, it means that Jesus rose from the dead. So for a long time, I did not understand Easter. And I still don't know what it has to do with bunnies and eggs. But anyways.
So maybe a lot of other people are struggling with that.
Yeah.
The other young people, young adults are struggling with that. What does Easter really mean? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ really mean? Does it matter? Does it not matter? What do you think? What do you believe? 740-383-9944. And I understand Easter was yesterday. But that doesn't matter.
Well, that's when we celebrate Easter.
We celebrated it, yes.
Jesus waited 3 days so that everybody would realize that he's really dead.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I didn't understand Easter for a long time. I would ask people, what does Easter mean? A lot of them had different interpretations and all this stuff. I finally, after I got saved, I realized it. You know, what was going on. I hated to ask anybody because I felt so stupid. You know?
Well,
how could you not know what Easter means in America, you know?
Right, but there's so many meanings. They've mixed
the
meaning of the actuality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the bunny rabbit, with the eggs, with the jelly beans.
Yeah.
With the chickadees.
Yeah.
And so
they finally outlawed the chickadees.
Did they?
Yeah, you can't buy a live chick anymore.
Really?
No. They decided it's inhumane.
Really?
Which I agree. All they do is take them home and let them die.
I remember my dad bought a whole box full. He has six kids, right? So he bought the little yellow chickadees. Yeah.
And you wonder, look back, what happened to those chickadees?
Don't know.
That's getting off the subject.
Well, kids don't know what to do with a chickadee.
No.
And parents buy them for
the probably
children.
Squeeze them to death or something, you
Could
know.
Be, like they say, just run around on the floor and you're watching them.
And
you're having fun with them. Who knows what happened to them? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I ever had one. That's what my mom said. She said it was cruel, so she wouldn't buy any. I agree with her there.
Oh.
But, okay. And the chocolate rabbits, okay, it's hollow.
Yeah. I have one at home that has the caramel in it.
Do you?
Yeah. I started eating it last evening. I did. And because it goes with the tradition as far as I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to always be on the shelves.
Yeah.
You know, so, plus I got a big Easter basket on my table.
Well, it's supposed to be something brand new, something that was born, you know, into the world just recently or something. And
same
thing with the eggs, you know, Jesus is born like the egg unhatches and stuff like that. I understand that.
Okay.
Bunny rabbits, I ate, you know, it's a little bit
fertility.
Different. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it is. Ishtar, yes.
Okay.
Fertility.
I got a good story for you.
All right. Bring it on.
A friend of mine, he said it was okay to use his name even.
Oh, really? Okay.
He said, I got something to tell you, Steve Phillips.
Oh, okay, Elder Steve.
And I said, what's going on? He said, and I thought this was probably a very true story because he don't tell lies.
He's credible.
And because it's right around Resurrection Day.
Right.
So he says, my nephew... Or his son, maybe it was his son, gave him his big yellow tomcat to watch over for some reason. I think he was going on vacation or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat was too hyper, so for various reasons. So they took him into the vet and had him neutered.
Okay.
And him fixed. And they brought him home, and he fixed up a cage for him. I guess he put some pillows or something in there and left him in the living room. And he came back in a couple hours, and the cat was laying there all still and not moving and not breathing, and his head was turned sideways and his tongue was hanging out. I said, "Steve, that cat was dead." He said, "Yes, he was." He said, "And I couldn't tolerate it because it wasn't my cat, and I was supposed to watch over it." Mm-hmm. And so he picked it up and he started praying for it. He said, "Lord, please don't let this cat be dead." Da 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 da. Just kept praying for him and praying for the Lord, please. You know, he started praying with passion. And he said he felt like he was supposed to set it down. Mm-hmm. And a couple of times, after he set it down a couple of times, and its legs just went limp. Then all of a sudden he set it down another time, and the cat took off running.
I bet that scared him.
That might have. I don't know.
Startled him anyway, you know. Like, whoa, God did it. He got this cat.
He brought a cat back to life. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, God can do that. So I thought that was a really cool story.
It is a cool story.
He didn't let his nephew or his son's cat die.
And but he believed also. He believed that the Lord...
Oh,
he knew
Steve,
God could resurrect, right?
I have called Steve when I was deadly sick, which has happened to me a lot since I joined VITM. Mm-hmm. Satan don't like me there for some reason. So I called Steve a couple of times when I was ready to just lay on my bed and just die. And I can't even tell you how I felt. I felt this racy feeling. It's the worst sickness I've ever felt. And I called Steve and asked him to pray for me. A couple hours later, I was perfectly well again.
Really?
So that's the guy to call if you're sick, I guess.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, so there's power in prayer.
Yeah, and I told him the next day, I said, "You remember when I called you and I was so sick?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I am completely well this morning."
To God be
wow,
the glory.
Wow, praise God, huh?
Yes, to him be all the
he
glory.
He does heal us.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And, you know, a lot of people may not think so, but there are miracles. I'm sure everyone can give a miracle in their life or in the life of someone that they know of as far as healing is concerned. When a doctor has said, okay, that's it, you know, we can't offer you anything else. We've done all that we can do.
Yeah.
You know, and God says, no, not yet. He can
yeah.
say that.
We have to give credit to the poor medical people because they do everything they can to help us.
Yes, they do.
But they're only human.
They're only human.
I got another story for you. I was really hesitating about telling this one because I was afraid it might sound like I'm bragging or trying to be macho man or something.
Why would we think that, Jeff?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because of my muscles.
Okay. You
know. I look like I've been lifting weights all my life.
Right, right.
Okay. I told Mom that I would take her to Cracker Barrel, and that this week was like a couple of weeks ago, if we had a really nice day. Mm-hmm. And I said, so we did. We had a really nice day that week. So I got in the car, and I'm going down Greenwood Street, and all of a sudden I got a train. How unusual in Marion. And I said, I don't want to wait on this train. So I kind of made a U-turn or whatever and went past that lumber company there and got back on Quarry Street and then turned down some other streets and ended up on Farming Street, East Farming. And I'm headed towards State Street. Well, there's these apartment buildings down there. There's one apartment. I guess it's an apartment. It looks more like a barn or something. Mm-hmm. And it's got a plywood side to it. It looks like somebody took some spray paint, and that's supposed to be a wall. But anyways, I saw this couple come out of there where the door is, and I thought they were playing chase me or catch me or something. Mm-hmm. You know how they do, how young people chase each other around in the nice weather, you know. They,
right, right.
And so, and all that, you know, spray each other with a hose or whatever. And I got up closer and I could see they were not playing. He had her in a headlock.
Really?
And was getting ready to probably beat the tar out of her or something because they were, you know. And then he got her head, he got a hold of her hair and pulled her head back, and her nose was sticking up towards the clouds. She's going, "Help me, help me." It was heartbreaking. You know, and I said, "Well, Lord."
These were kids?
They're, well, not kids. They're like
teenagers?
In their 20s, I'd say.
Them are adults.
Later in their 20s, I call them kids.
Okay.
But anyways, I said, "Well, Lord, I'd like to help her, but I got this heart problem. I'd last about 3 seconds in a fight, and that'd be it, you know. But I don't have that much energy." Mm-hmm. And I was not feeling that good during that time. I was having a hard time breathing. So I said, best I could do is get out the cell phone, call the police. So I knew they were going to be too late, though, you know.
Right.
So I dig it in my pocket, and I can't get the cell phone out. You know, it's got that rubber thing around it.
Right,
and it's
right.
Just, it won't come out. And I looked up, and she broke free from the guy. I was stopped. I finally stopped. And she saw me over there, and she ran towards the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it, if my driver's side door was unlocked or what, but she's like, she grabbed the door and she opened it and jumped in. I said, we started driving away. She looked at me like, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, I guess that would be a thought too.
Yeah. And I thought, well, you know, she could have pulled out a knife or a gun and boom, blown me away too. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Say, oh, I got me a car here, huh?
Right, right.
Well, anyways, fortunately, none of that happened. I pulled up. I said, do you need the police? She said, no, I don't want no cops. And I said, well, what about the paramedics? Need to go to the hospital? She said, no. She said, take me over to so-and-so. So I took her a few blocks away. And I remembered when I was going down Mark Street, then I was on the bus and saw the same thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the police on that one, too, because I was working, you know. So, and they got him, too.
Good.
But I let her off, and I thought, I'll see you sometime when we're shopping or something. And I said, man, I was feeling so discouraged before that happened. I felt like the medical problems and other problems that I was having with Mom, I just felt like I just wanted to jump off a cliff, you know. And the Lord used that to lift me up like, you did your good deed for today,
you know. You prayed for
gave
him.
Me, yeah.
Yeah, you let him know that you weren't able to do it, but you trusted
he did
that
it.
He could.
He figured out something.
Yes, yes.
You know, I think she broke free of him because she saw me watching, as he saw me watching, so he let her go.
And I let her go.
So that made me feel good. I wasn't sure whether I should tell that story or not because, you know, might sound like I'm bragging or something, but I really didn't do that much.
But, you know, everyone needs one time in their life at least someone that will step up no matter what the circumstances, no matter what it looks like, you know, because if you had maybe seen her picture on the cover of the magazine or Facebook or a newspaper and saying that girl had died or something, then you really would have felt even worse than that, not being able, knowing your physical limitations, that you could not help her. But, you know, and that's what God says, you know, call out to me and I will answer. I will answer. And, you know, a lot of people want to tell their friends and their neighbors and everybody else who can't really help.
Yeah.
But he says, call out to me.
I learned about that a long time ago, you know.
And look how fast he fixed that.
Yeah. I said, Lord, all best I could do is call the police right now because I can't even hardly breathe.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, there she is at my passenger side door.
And
she, I didn't even know that door was unlocked. Whoa. I was going to reach over and unlock it, but she was in the car before I even thought that hardly.
Mm.
So she was really scared.
I bet she was.
That's for sure.
I mean, that's a threat of your life.
She must have prayed and asked the Lord for help, or maybe some relatives been praying for her.
You prayed.
Yeah.
That's
true, too.
That's not saying that no one else has, but at that moment, you were witnessing this going down.
Yes.
And you shared your limitations to the Lord.
Yes.
That's prayer.
Yeah.
That's prayer.
So, well, God likes that. He likes it when we're limited, and right. we have to leave it to him.
Right.
You know.
He does.
That's why I believe I have these medical problems, is because I got stuff to do in the future, and he doesn't want me to think I'm a hot stuff, you know. Oh, here I am, Martin Luther.
Not only that, yet also the enemy doesn't want you to accomplish yeah. those things.
So put an impossible barrier there. Yeah.
He attacks you, you know. Just like every year when I start the ministry with the city schools, you know, we're allowed to yeah. teach the Bible after school. We have permission by Supreme Court, and I hear that our President Donald Trump has even mentioned putting prayer back in the schools, and that's a good thing, because that's yes. like publicity as of awakening people's their minds to the fact that, you know, it's possible to have some of your students to come to these Bible classes after school. After all, we're teaching good character, being truthful, being honest, you know. We do Proverbs, you know, wisdom that you can't get from man.
Yep. You know, the schools are usually not that hostile towards the Bible. It's the government.
Yeah, because it's in their hands now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in their hands. It's so, like abortion, but look what has happened.
Yeah.
You know, they've pushed, and they didn't give up, and they're continuing to push and push and make.
What did you think of that heartbeat bill coming through?
That's what I'm talking about. Yes. That was
victory. A good thing.
It's been a long fight. And,
yeah.
And because when it did go through, the church was silent.
Yeah.
They were silent. Now, I think that was in the 60s. Am I right? Was that in the 60s
what, Roe
or before
versus
then?
Wade, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been a long struggle, a hard fight for the church. And it was an embarrassment.
Yeah. Well, the church wasn't ready for a fight like that. They no. weren't ready for Madeline Murray O'Hara when she showed up.
Took prayer out of school.
They weren't. Yeah, they weren't organized. They weren't ready for an attack like that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd had it made for too long. And all of a sudden, we got some opposition out there, and we're like, what? What? Wake up. Huh? You know.
That's not funny.
Yeah.
But we sleep now, too, about different things.
Yeah.
May not be the same, but.
Well, it's even worse now with the tribulation coming. And I believe Satan has invented pre-tribulation rapture so everybody can go back to sleep. That's one of the biggest problems, I think, in preaching.
Deception.
Tribulation is because people swallow everything that's preached to them, and I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should check stuff.
And that is the first example he gives, and it's the most important. Be not deceived.
Yeah.
Be not
deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you.
That's right.
And if you look through Matthew 24 and just keep looking, there's no sign of the rapture until the very, very end. And that would be a post-tribulation rapture. But it's not going to take you out before all this stuff happens. But like I said, even if I'm wrong, I think it's better to be prepared.
Better be.
Yeah.
Better be ready. Not getting ready. Not getting ready. Like the 10 virgins. 5 were wise.
Yeah.
5 were foolish.
Low on oil,
yeah,
bud.
Yeah. And they were just spending their oil and using it all up. And when the bridegroom came, they didn't have enough oil to take yeah. the trip.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's an it's a scary.
It is scary.
That is a very scary parable.
Yes, it is. And it like, well, can we borrow some of your oil? The other 5 who
no
were
way.
Wise?
You're not borrowing my oil.
I need my oil, you know. I don't want to be left behind, you know.
Yeah.
We'll run out before we get there. You and I both. And I don't have no intentions of being lost. That's what
yeah.
you're saying, you know.
Yeah.
And, yes, I like that parable, too, you know. So we have to be very cognizant of what we're doing, what we're saying, and how we're living our life, and the infilling of the Spirit and our worship. And,
yes.
Because we're not perfect, and we're not going to always do anything. And I had to come to the acknowledgement of that.
Well, you know, God will come along and say, you're getting kind of low on oil.
Oh, yeah. He sure will.
Holy Spirit, say, you need to do a little bit of Bible studying.
Right.
Pick up over here. Whatever it is that you do to fill your lamp back up.
Yes, right. He sure does.
You know.
Yes, he sure does. And we have talked about the resurrection of Christ. We did not get a call, but that's okay. We know that you're still listening about it. But we understand also why Christ gave his life for those who would believe. Even though he died for the whole world, he also knew that everyone would not believe. He wished that all would be saved. But he also knew that all will not be saved.
And he told the truth no matter what the consequences.
Yes, he did.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is. Yes,
you know.
Yes, it is.
That's like, you know, you swipe somebody's pen over here and not the same thing. But, I mean, you know, you swipe somebody's pen and the teacher comes over and says, I saw you swipe that pen. Give it to me. It's like, I didn't take no pen. What you talking about? You know, that's the way we are, you know.
Oh, yeah, but he sees it. We can't hide from him. And they say that the hand is quicker than the eye. You might not see me take it, but he knows I took it. You know,
to him, it's nothing. I mean, he sees everything.
Right. And some people say, well, okay, I do believe in Christ, and what can I do to be saved? And you gave that example earlier. And the way to stay in the right standing with God, with Christ, is acknowledging 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that is the way of the saint, those who have been saved. That's how we stay in right standing with God, is with repentance. So, and
what I say, I always say, is that the way we know Christ is the only way.
How's that?
It's because there's no other way to take care of the sin.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's why he came here.
Right, that's right.
And I ask them, I say, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many does that mean? Well, that means absolutely everybody from beginning to end. So, if you go out there and you look at the world the way it is, the way they disregard human laws, they disregard spiritual laws from the Bible, then and never ask Jesus to come into their heart, how are you going to take care of that sin? What causes that problem? Well, sin to begin with.
Right, right. Well, you know? We can't help that.
No.
It's our nature. And
so
When you stated the fact that for all who have lived, and if the Bible is correct, this is based on 6,000 years, and the 7,000 year is the year of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think we do believe that we are in the 6,000-year reign right now of man's reign or devil's reign. Okay, so if you think about the billions and billions and billions of people who were birthed.
Yeah.
For 6,000 years that he died for willingly. That's a lot of people. Because right now we have what, almost 10 billion?
I don't know.
10 or 11, I think, right now.
It's a lot.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You like people that much?
I love people. Yeah, I do. I guess I do. Yes, I do.
I remember you saying that you're a former Jehovah's Witness.
I studied with them, yes.
Okay, and they had the resurrection messed up as far as their belief system.
I don't even know if I even got that far. They had a lot of
They didn't believe in a bodily resurrection. What they believe in is a ghostly kind of thing. It's almost 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was talking about the Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, Jehovah's Witnesses. The thing that got me with them was it said, because I read the Bible for a long time. Even under the age of 10, I was reading the Bible, and I loved Revelation. I loved the stories. I used to be fascinated by the symbolism and the dragons and, you know, the bears and all that kind of stuff. You know, I just thought it was exciting to read.
Me too.
And it would hold my interest, you know. But I did know, when I did understand, when the Lord gave me an understanding of It was the revealing of Jesus Christ. I mean, chapter 1, Revelation.
Yeah.
He says, all eyes will see me, even those who pierce my side. And so when that did sink in, you know, my understanding, even though I was studying with them, they told me that every eye will not see him. That's when I kind of, that's when I like, oh, well, wait a minute, hold on.
That, the word of God says that they did.
Right. Everyone, even those who pierce his side, no matter when he comes in the future, those people will see him. So that means everybody's going to be at attention.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went to, because when he says they will be my people and I will be their God, and I'm thinking, oh, what does that mean? It's like Jesus says, I'm God. I'm like, oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like.
And that's something they deny.
Yeah, and it brought all that confusion together.
Yeah.
And I was able to understand things that I was struggling with before, because then you got the Father, you got the Son, you got the Holy Spirit, and Jesus did that, and God the Father did that. And I'm like, and you're like, well, what does this all mean? But when he said, I will be there. God, and they will be my people. And I'm thinking, oh,
yeah,
what are you saying?
Yeah.
And when I got that understanding, they could not do anything with me anymore.
Well, they believe that the Watchtower organization is God, really. And once you break that authority that they have, because they believe they have authority because of the Watchtower.
Wow.
Once you break that, they're lost.
You know we're out of time.
Darn
it. Of course. And I wanted to read this scripture, and I don't think I'm going to have time. But it's about the stronghold of God. In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. And that is Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. And that is our aim, and that is our goal. And hopefully some of you who are listening, that is yours too. Thank you, Jeff, for being my guest today.
Glad
you're
usual.
Feeling better. Yes. Missed you when you can't be here. So
I appreciate that.
Back.
Thank
yes.
you.
You've been listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.
You've had so many interesting people on here. I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal, and I know you don't do much media anymore, but you were always so kind to me, and I want to take the... I always thank you when we're done, but I want to thank you on the air for 10 years of being so kind to me.
Well, I've enjoyed every minute of it, Scott. You know, I always say you're the best interviewer I ever had that I do an interview with.